Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios this morning to encourage you, to enlighten you, and hopefully in the midst of all the informing, to give you a few encouraging, joyful, empowering, strengthening laughs, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining Pat and myself this morning on VFN Radio is the, yes, the one, I know I said it before, the only 4'2", John Ramos.
Good morning.
Be encouraged this morning. We are coming to you to encourage you live on VFN Radio. I'm going to give a shout out to Peter this morning. I'm so encouraged seeing you and your testimony and how God is encouraging you through VFN Radio on VFN TV. It was such an encouraging thing to see this weekend. We'll give a shout out also to Kechara, to the school and all the teachers around you. We thank you for what you're doing. We just pray a blessing on your day. And your bold stand for Jesus is so encouraging. We'll give a shout out also to James. Give a shout out also to all of our Restoring Love listeners who were there in Dallas, Texas. We can't wait to talk a little bit about what happened with 60,000 in participation this weekend. Eat chicken! Eat chicken! Eat chicken! Eat all the chicken you can this week at Chick-fil-A. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos. We're so glad that you're joining us this morning. We want to be able to encourage you and just kind of share with you all the things that God's laying on our heart. And we just really believe that since we serve one God and one Lord with one Spirit, that our conversation today is just going to be one big amen. Isn't that cool? Oh, my goodness. Was that so cool to hear how Peter is so encouraged and our listeners are so encouraged by the VFN radio program?
Yeah, that was awesome. That really, really was very encouraging, Peter. You know, just to know that this discussion, this conversation on a daily basis, glorifying God and talking about everything that the Lord is doing, is bringing so much encouragement and hope to a lot of our listeners. It was great, great hearing that, Peter.
Well, you know, man, you're so articulate. I've got to learn to enunciate and separate my words as well as you do.
Oh, please.
Well, you know, I can't wait. They're working editing right now, this prophetic conversation that we had about dreams and visions that the Lord had given several leaders throughout the United States. And we're going to make that available to you once we edit out all names to protect the innocent. We're kind of like just, you know, taking a few things out. That's like, it's just the delivery. You don't want the deliverer necessarily as much as you want the message and who it's being delivered for. And we're cleaning that up to make sure it's kind of concise to be able to give you just a pure version of what we are partially hearing. And I just really want to encourage you that no matter what goes on, and we'll be talking probably more about it this week, that when you think about what your stand for God, when you stand for righteousness, which is in the blood of Jesus Christ, at the cross of Christ, to be empowered to do what Jesus said to do in our lives, that we have a desire to do right. You know what I'm saying? We're not just throwing our hands up and say, grace. Listen, she ain't going to save you because it's a different grace than the grace God's talking about. And say goodnight, Gracie. Anyway, so, you know, with that, that when King Josiah stood up for righteousness, despite him not knowing anything, when he found out, suddenly he found out what was right, which means up until that point, no telling what he was doing because he didn't even know what was right. Mm. You know, and nobody was letting him know. It's so funny when they showed up at the temple. And he sent some people over. He says, listen, I want you to take the money that's in the hand of the people in leadership. Mm-hmm. And I want you to give all this money to the people who are not in leadership. And I want you to want the carpenters and stuff. And I don't want you to restrain them at all because they're trustworthy and faithful. And let them rebuild things. And so it took the control out of the high priest, you know, mm-hmm. that was going there. And so then the secretary comes over of King Josiah and says, what's going on? This is what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the high priest goes, you won't believe what I found. I'm serious. I'm serious. You know, you won't believe what I found. Wow. You won't believe what I found. And he's like, what? What? You know, he's like, I found the Bible. I found the Word of God. And it was like, come on, that's a little suspicious. I mean, if you've been in that temple all this long and you are a priest, and all of a sudden, you know, but it's so cool that even in the context of that, well, really not in the context of that, because still the high priest was held definitely accountable for it, because it was, but I'm talking more so about Josiah. But, you know, he's just like, look here what I found, actually the right way to do things, you know? Mm. And so the secretary got it, you know, I think it was Shofan, and that was the man. And he goes back to Josiah and tells Josiah, here's the word for the first time. This might be you hearing the word for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here. We're here for you to hear the same time we're hearing, so we together can do what Josiah did. And as soon as he heard what was right, this is so important, as soon as he heard what was right, he didn't go to the people who were already who've been twisting the word and hiding the word and all this different stuff. He immediately, his heart was just, you know, convicted to the core, and he couldn't believe. He was so shocked that this is actually how things are supposed to be done. And he took his clothes, his robes, and he ripped all of his robes. He just ripped them all. And he's going, oh my goodness, the anger of the Lord is burning against us. You know, and we're going to talk more about that. But he began a route of right response to a holy God in a terrible situation, and he was spared from what was going to happen. And if you want to, you need to listen up to VFN Radio. You need to be a part. If you're hanging with people who aren't hearing from God, you need to encourage them to begin to hear from God. But if they're not interested in it, you need to hang with hearers and doers. Hang with doers and doers, and hang with just hearers and hearers. But make sure you hang with somebody who's going to hear God and do what He said, and it's not hiding the Bible until all of a sudden things are about to fall apart, and to say, look, you hear what I got. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden you're going to fall to the sin of offense. You're going to be offended and you can't get over it, but you can't be offended now, because I'm telling you, and realize this is spiritual things that we actually wrestled against. But what he did was he ripped his clothes and he went through this whole right response towards God. And there's some rough times come into the world. There's some rough times coming to America. But, you know, the church will prevail. God will protect those who rip their hearts and rend their hearts and acknowledge God is right and us is wrong, and that, Lord, give me the grace to follow. We just got to be broken about it. If you're not broken, you're not broken about what's going on, that's a dangerous state, because what's about to happen, you're going to be a part of that, you know. But if you're broken, if God sees you just downhearted about the condition, not just faking it, but you like look at the condition of the church, you look at the condition of marriage and family and the state and the nation that once, you know, knew that it was founded on the Christian principles and Jesus, God as the God of America, and Jesus as the Lord of America, and you see the condition of it and you're broken over that, listen, don't do something to stop the brokenness. That's good. God's going to see the brokenness and realize God will reward you for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just want to encourage you this morning that you can make a personal decision to respond appropriately. And if you listen to VFN Radio, we're going to be talking to you about that. We're going to talk to you about it to be encouraged. Listen, God loves you. And any hardship or discipline that would come to a people is because God loves us. It's not because He hates us. He says, consider hardship as discipline, that I'm treating you as a son. And and family's been so torn apart that when proper love is shown, proper discipline is shown, everybody freaks out about it. You know, they go like, oh, what is this? I guess I'm hated. No, actually,
what is that?
Love. Yeah. What meanest thou this? You know? And so we got to recapture that. We got to begin to turn the ship back to, you know, God loves me enough. I mean, you think about, why would he discipline me? That's because he does not want me to die outside of him.
That's right.
You know, and the only way the enemy can dupe us in that is to say, you will always be inside of him no matter what you do after you meet him. And not true. And so we're going to talk about that. You know, we all should have a reverential fear of the Lord right now and what's happening. But be encouraged. You know, we have a lot of decisions that are before us right now. Things are going on in the world. And we just had, you know, speaking of God's news behind the news, we had a presidential candidate go to Israel and begin Mitt Romney. And he was talking to, this is very important to us as believers, because God says, you know, I'll bless those who bless you. And sometimes, you know, you got to dig around for the reason why possibly who stands for your values or not. And sometimes it's just, it all's terrible. You know, it's like everywhere I look, you know, but when you start seeing somebody stand up for Israel, and he didn't say, you know, if you're an American and stand for Israel, then I'll bless you. He didn't say if you speak Spanish and stand for Israel, then I'll bless you. He didn't say if you're a man or a woman and you stand for Israel, I'll bless you. He didn't say if you were, if you knew Jesus or didn't know Jesus and you stood with Israel, I'll bless you. He said, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. It doesn't bring you salvation, but it gives you a, it gives the blessing of God on your nation and on your life. And we want to hear, let's just hear what happened right there as Mitt Romney is speaking right there in Jerusalem and his viewpoints of Israel. Let's just find out what he said.
It is my firm conviction that the security of Israel is in the vital national security interest of the United States. Ours is not an alliance based only on shared interests, but also on enduring shared values. In those shared values, one of the strongest voices is that of your Prime Minister, my friend Benjamin Netanyahu. I met with him earlier this morning, and I look forward to my family joining with his this evening as they close the fast of this Tisha B'Av day. It's remarkable to consider how much adversity over so great a span of time is recalled by just one day on the calendar. This is a day of remembrance and mourning, but like other such occasions, it also calls forth clarity and resolve. At this time, we also remember the 11 Israeli athletes and coaches who were massacred at the Munich Olympics 40 years ago.
There's something very important we have to remember. You know, we're listening to a YouTube report from CNN. They have their posted on their YouTube. But this is him speaking there that, you know, we just forget. It's amazing. You know, it's like, don't you remember what just, I mean, do you remember what happened last week? Do you remember what happened, you know, a month ago, you know, and there's one thing about Israel we can learn from, many things we can learn from Israel, but, you know, is that you should never forget.
Right.
Because if we forget, we will repeat the mistakes of our past, you know, and he's talking about the Olympians right in the middle of this Olympics right now that's going on. Let's continue to listen to him.
And 10 years ago this week, 9 Israeli and American students were murdered in a terrorist attack at Hebrew University. Tragedies like these are not reserved to the past. They're a constant reminder of the reality of hate and the will with which that hate is executed upon the innocent. It was Menachem Begin who said this about the ninth of the month of Av. We remember, he said, and now have the responsibility to make sure that never again will our independence be destroyed, and never again will the Jew become homeless or defenseless. This, he added, is the crux of the problems facing us in the future. So it is today, as Israel faces enemies who deny past crimes against the Jewish people and seek to commit new ones. When Iran's leaders deny the Holocaust or speak of wiping this nation off the map, only the naive, or worse, would dismiss it as an excess of rhetoric. Make no mistake, the Ayatollahs in Tehran are testing our moral defenses. They want to know who will object and who will look the other way. My message to the people of Israel and the leaders of Iran is one and the same. We will not look away, nor will my country ever look away from our passion and commitment to Israel.
That's so, so important. You know, God says he'll bless those who bless you. And he goes on to say, you know, we'll make this available on the VFN Torch. You can get to it at VFNTV.com. But understanding that he even said that, you know, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And that's where all of the government is. If you go to Israel, you will see the Knesset and all that's there. The only thing that's in Tel Aviv is the U.S. Embassy and the Defense Department. because Tel Aviv is the capital because the United Nations was trying to keep Israel from calling Jerusalem their capital. And all this stuff about splitting the land of Israel is about giving. This is it. This, in the end, this is what every nation will be judged for, how if they divided them, how they treated the land of Israel. Right. And they want to give a Palestinian state, but with that, they want to give Jerusalem as the Palestinian capital of that state. And so this Mitt Romney, who's running for president of the United States, we just heard how he's, you know, standing for what he said. Mm-hmm. He's going to stand for Israel, that, you know, he's not going to turn his head, you know, that that we understand you'd be naive to think that these people are wanting to knock Israel off the face of the map. And not only Israel, by the way, America. Right. And but Israel off the face of the map. And that we will not turn our heads from it. We won't turn our heads from it. And we won't, we will not, we'll support them. We will totally support Israel and defending themselves. But he goes on to say this, that not only that, but he said that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. That's a huge thing for a president to say that. I mean, it's very, I mean, obviously Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, will probably make some of those also available on the torch.
Right.
That you can see that, that this is how they always, they're not like shocked. They're like, this is great. You know, this is great that, this is your viewpoint. In one of the interviews, they talked about our current president. He says, you know, we always want to look for whoever's going to be the president of the United States if they have a soft spot in their heart towards Israel.
Sure.
And he said a lot of our people in Israel, they do not yet have to see a soft spot in the heart of President Obama towards Israel. Mm. And that's important. That's very important. And so the very fact that we would support, you know, the U.S. embassy being moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is huge. That is so huge.
Right.
And
that's blue.
Yeah, well, that's a big one. And so I thought it was pretty cool to be able to find out, you know, where he stands compared to where President Obama stands in the context of that. So when we're praying about who, you know, we're going to support, think about what God says about if all else fails, how do you stand on Israel?
Yeah, right.
You know,
that's
when in doubt, check their views of Israel out. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
I just heard a report saying that it's neck and neck. I mean, right now it matters. Everyone's important, and it's about we're almost close to 100 days out.
Right, right. And we just want to remember. We want to remember that, you know, when you're considering, you know, where you're gonna voting on your values, voting on what you know. You know, get to know these candidates, find out about them, and find out how they stand towards Israel. If a whole nation's about to flip, you know, for example, you know, maybe the only thing we have going for is that we stand for Israel during that time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And by the way, that works.
Yeah.
You know, that works. Somebody said, why'd you go there? It's like, well, I needed something that worked at a time like this because nothing else was working. So, you know,
that's right.
I just started blessing us. You know, we stand with Israel.
Yes.
You know, we are partners with Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv and his ministry there to the Jewish people and to the homeless and to those that need food and clothing, and Adonai Fellowship that's there, and the coffee shop there in Tel Aviv, you know, Dugit. Yeah, and then also we stand with Christians United for Israel, that it's led by Pastor John Hagee in America, in San Antonio, Texas, and CUFI, CUFI.org, and that is an organization that's put together to encourage our legislature and our president and our country to remind us about Israel and our viewpoint of God's viewpoint of Israel and America's stand for Israel, you know, and to be blessed. We will be blessed. I mean, Israel is a nation today because of God's order. He used that order. He used that to come to pass by our president. I believe it was Harry Truman. I believe it was that was you know, he was in that situation where they were bringing it up whether it should happen or not, and he remembered his mother teaching him on her knee or as a young child the word of God, and one of the things he remembered was in the context of I will bless those who bless Israel, and it was a Bible study with his mother, that he remembered and that he signed that where they began to bring Israel back together again and give them the land when they're separating the lands and all. And it's 1948.
Wow.
And it's just really neat how, don't ever think, you know, teaching your children about God at a young age. I'm thinking about, you know, Pastor Debbie up in Patterson, how she's, you know, she's discipling Isaiah. You know, she talks about that quite often. And I can't help but think about Harry, President Truman, and how that time with his mother, you know, and she's not the mother of Isaiah, but just understanding that she's teaching him, and a lot of children are being taught across the United States about the things of God, that it will not be in vain, you know. And I could just, I think about the context of that. You know, what if he ends up in government? What if he ends up, you know, being able to be brought, God could bring a decision before him, for example, and he would know the things of God. Oh, it's just exciting. I get very excited about that. So I just want to encourage you, you know, in the context of that, so many things are going on, but stay informed, you know, stay informed of what's going on. We'll look at God's news behind the news, and we'll praise God. So how was your weekend, John? What happened?
It was very, very good. The Olympics kicked off this weekend.
Yes.
So we're really excited about that. I saw a very interesting interview last night where Gabby Douglas, she's a 16-year-old Olympian, for the Americans, she's in gymnastics, and she actually qualified for the women's all-around team. So when they got around to interviewing her, she says, you know, hey, you know, it's been reported that you have, you know, issues with your nerves. And I said, I'm thinking, hello, she's flipping on a beam. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
I'd have some issues myself.
A very thin beam, you know what I'm saying?
Hello. She goes, so the interviewer says, how have you been dealing with that? How have you been dealing with that? And she says, well, I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm a Christian, and I've just been meditating on scripture, and I've just been relying on God's word to keep me through it. And so it's so encouraging, so exciting. I saw another place where she just gave total glory to God for why she's in the Olympics, and she's doing well. She just qualified, and we're looking forward to see what happens. So it's always nice when you get to see the Olympics, and also too, you get to see other Olympians that are believers, and they're doing their all for God. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk more about these Olympians because, you know, the Olympics was about, you research the history, it was about glorifying some other gods, you know what I mean? You know, mythology and stuff like that. But
it started in Greece. That's right.
Right.
That's why,
right.
That's why the Greeks always come out first when they have the show of the nations and they're marching around. You'll notice
that
the Greeks come out first because that's where it started. Of course, there's only a handful of them because their methodology, besides their mythology, right now, politically, you know, is that they're crashing in. They said they couldn't afford to send many people to represent.
Really?
Greece. Yeah, because, you know, the socialism and all the things that are going on there.
Wow, interesting. So, anyway, always cool when believers are doing all that they can do for God.
I love that. I love watching them compete, you know, just seeing all their training and all their focus and it just makes me want to, you know, get on the treadmill.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, you know, when I was watching that, I was like, put my bowl of ice cream down. You're like, I am dedicated here, man. This is good. Yeah. No.
Go.
I was not eating ice cream. I'm telling you, I was not eating ice cream. That was Pat. I was eating butter pecan. Well, I'm excited about coming back with the top three stories in just a moment. We'll be right back.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Be My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school, I did all the right things that you're supposed to do, but yet deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. It was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com. Go to the VFN TV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFN TV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father. Mm-hmm. And he was, he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad. Mm-hmm. And, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now. She can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom have to do a conference call or something and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk and, we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening. They're listening to VFN TV mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad. Uh-huh. And they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store mm-hmm. and downloaded the application because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're going to be talking about the top three stories on the VFN Torch. If you want to get to the VFN Torch, it's where we carry our conversation deeper. It's where we shine more light and even humor at times, but just more details and resources that you really can't, you know, be able to make available. You can't say, see this on radio, you know.
Right.
Hey, look at this, you know. But if we do say that, we tried to make what we said, look at this, about bring you into that visual observation of it on the Torch, the VFN Torch. So you can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. You know, that we talk about the top three stories that you're looking at on the Torch, you know, every day. We try to bring it up because it's just really cool to see what you're watching, what you're listening to. And also to encourage others that haven't got a chance to see what you've seen. And it's just cool. I'm excited about the number one. I'm very excited, John, about the number one.
Yes.
The number one story on the VFN Torch is the church is an organism, not an organization.
Wow, that's number one.
Wonderful.
That's number
awesome.
One. Is that not cool?
Wow.
And very we just good. Began. That was a day that we just barely began to talk about. We have so much to say about that. As a matter of fact, that you want to check it out, but realize that we are the body of Christ. I mean, that once we start thinking about the outside of the cup, once we start thinking about our flesh and thinking about you know, where we're going to meet in and what we're going to do. And we've taken on things like Robert's Rules of Orders, and the only one that really knows that are the ones that are trying to control the church, because most people don't even know what, you know, they're going every day. They don't think about board meetings and Robert's Rules of Order and all that. And it's a way that you can politically take over the church. It's a way you can step outside the prophet or the apostle that God's laying things down. And it's good to have order. But God has an order. We don't need men's methodologies for order. What I'm saying? But if we're in a secular meeting, a meeting for your business or whatever, it's kind of good to be able to have that, or a leadership meeting in your city. But when it comes to God's people, I think we need to change that and go back to God's way of doing things. But it's a number one story. The church is an organism which is living and breathing and growing and just, you know, it's the body of Christ. Whatever you do, the least of these, you do it to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not an organization. It's not a board of directors. It's not, you know, Robert's Rules of Order. It's not a building. It's not, you know, these different things that we come up with in our own knowledge to be able to help God's people. We got to make sure that we don't turn the very thing that we established to help somebody into God, into doctrine.
All right.
And just say, you know, we just want to have enough government, enough of the structure, enough of the structure so that if God was to back up from it, it would fall all apart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not enough that if God was to leave, you can still go for another 50 years.
Right.
It's happening in different places. You know, number two on the VFN Torch, the stories that you're reading, is the teen that was arrested for the fatal shooting where, John, you were telling us about this story. You remember that? In New York?
Yes. Apparently there was a basketball tournament that was going on. And after the basketball tournament, some teens broke out in a gunfire. And a young baby, like a four-year-old child, was actually shot and killed.
By a 17-year-old.
By a 17-year-old. Yeah. It was really very, very tragic.
It is
very,
horrific.
Very tragic. Mm-hmm. And so I know that a lot of people have been praying for it. People have contacted me about that. And
It's a number two story that you're reading on the VFN Torch. You can see Lloyd Morgan was the young 4-year-old boy that was shot. It's just tragic. It's so tragic. Mm. And it's tragic because a 17-year-old boy, you know, in the middle of playing, you know, ball, this all ended up this way. And, you know, many people are killed in the crossfire of life and die every day. And it's like, we got to stop. We got to get a right viewpoint of that. And I believe our Constitution has a good viewpoint of that, and you can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. And go to just search for the Second Amendment, you know, and understanding that you know, people will quit pulling their guns out when the good guy, they know the good guy's got one too.
That's right.
Unless they're saying, you know, I just want my life to end right now.
All right.
It's amazing what a little sign did in the hurricane. If you loot, we'll shoot. It's amazing.
If you loot, we shoot.
Isn't it amazing how calm the neighborhoods got? I mean, you remember that? It was like 20 mobs of people just walking through the neighborhoods at night. When people know that you're exercising your Second Amendment, it's just kind of, everyone begins to chill out in a way.
And that's the purpose of the Second Amendment, is to be able to protect, but also to protect the government and your freedom and all. The third story on the VFN Torch is 10 surprising facts that you might not know about Google. It's very interesting. I don't think I knew I don't know many of them. I knew one of them, you know.
Yeah.
But, that was enough.
That's all I need to know.
You know? But,
get it. Thanks.
But you think about it, you know, I remember I was talking to a technical support with Apple. I was having an issue with Pat's iPhone. I was having an issue with an iPhone and trying to figure out what was wrong with it. And so I'm talking to tech support, which is not one of my favorite things to do.
It's not?
No. I you know, I'm always up front. And when I first talked to them, I said, listen, this has nothing to do with you.
Are you warming them up? Get ready. Here it comes.
Yeah, I'm already. I just want to tell you, you know, you're probably a good person, and I have nothing against you whatsoever. But I want to let you know, I'm already upset. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for it, but it's not my thing to do to be able to talk to you about something I didn't understand in the first place, and now I'm trying to figure it out and talk to it about you. I mean, it's just a really rough thing. So I'm just thankful that Pat is I just normally now just go, "Here, man, please fix my technical thing," you know, and he's so good at it. Yeah. God taught him everything he knows, right?
Right, right. Before I start the conversation, my name is Greg Lancaster.
Oh, no, no, you better not, dude.
No, no, no.
Think about it, that in the context of that I just really rough thing for me to do to be able to talk about technical service. Anyway, so I'm talking to about technical service, and I'm looking at my iPhone, and I realized their logo is an apple with a bite out of it. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I told her, I said, I found out what was wrong with your product, you know?
All right, right.
And it's a really good product. I mean, iPhone is amazing what you can do with an iPhone.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, it's got a bite out of the apple, like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, like all this stuff. Like, oh my goodness, is this it? Oh my goodness. And then I got off and continued to use my iPhone trying to figure out, you know. And it's like, oh, it's a bite of the apple. Well, the first one of the first logos, doodles, you know, for
Google
was a stick man. It was a stick man behind the Google. They call it a doodle, you know, they have it there.
Mm-hmm.
And in that it was a stick man, but the stick man represented the Burning Man. And the Burning Man is a festival that happens in Nevada where mm-hmm. pagans go out and they dance around and burn this figure, this big giant stick man that looks mm-hmm. like a man, mm-hmm. and burns it around and dances around it. And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord. And that's, you know, that's one of the things we talk about on VFN Radio. We want to get God's wisdom. How do we respond at a time like this when prophecy is being fulfilled? You know, what do we do? Do we do this? Do we do that? We have to ask ourselves and seek God's wisdom for how to respond at a time like this. And the third story is, you know, it talks about what Google is. Google is a misspelling of a word that represents, you know, one with a whole bunch of zeros after it, which is logarithms. Everything is O's and ones, by the way, in computer language.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? It's totally. Yeah. I remember that part. I think that's the only part I remember of my math class at college, you know. Like, oh my goodness, a zero and a one. I didn't understand it, but I was pretty amazed. It was logarithms. Right. But that's the top three stories on the VFN Torch. Make sure you get that, and you can subscribe to it as well, and it'll be in your email every single day, any updates that are taking place right there. Do you remember when we had a chance to go to the Washington, D.C., and yes. go to the Standing Gap. Do you remember the Standing Gap?
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Never forget that.
You know, over a million, it was Promise Keepers, mm-hmm. you know, had organized, two men got together, you know, and it started this long adventure, really short, but a long adventure, Coach McCartney and his friend, to just begin to build relationships in small groups of men who were seeking the Lord and seeking to honor God. And originally when God began to call me out, that the biggest thing was this is the next step. This is the next step after the stadiums. This is because we need to take the relationship from just being a gender small group to a small group of the church, being able to come together because, you know, we filled stadiums, we turned nations. So we showed up, and stand in the gap, you know, and over a million men showed up. It was just totally awesome. But first, you got to go to the VFN Torch. You got to see. We actually have an aerial shot of the mall, Washington, D.C. And in that aerial shot, we have an arrow pointing to where Pat and I are in the crowd up front.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an arrow pointing where John is like way back in the back. You know, they couldn't wake him up. They're like, come on, wake up. And by the time he's thinking, like, oh, I got plenty of time. I'm like, our hotel is like right next to the mall. I mean, wasn't your motel like a block away from the mall? We were like in Maryland. Weren't we in Maryland?
Yeah, we were like
in a basement in Maryland.
Yeah.
You know, and we made it to the front and you were like a block away.
Guys, to get ready.
Oh my goodness. You should have just come.
I know it.
So it was about combing your hair.
A lot of.
I mean, it was. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, he's working on his hair.
Yeah, working the hair, making it right.
But you see, I mean, I can imagine it's already difficult for John to see when he's up close. But I can imagine, you know, a million men between him and the stage. I'm like, we just had to send a message like, hey, John, this is what's happening next. But it was a powerful time. It was a very powerful time. And I remember, as a matter of fact, listen to this. You can hear what it sounds like. I remember going through. Imagine a million men standing in the malls and singing this. There's no greater love than Jesus. A million men. There's no greater love than He gives. There's no greater love than Jesus. So be
greater. There's no greater love than Jesus.
You know, we were actually sitting there going on subways. Imagine all the subway trains going to one core place, Washington, D.C., and the subways are filled with men, and the trains themselves, the where you get off the trains is filled, where you all the stairs, and they're singing things like "Amazing Grace," and it's just echoing through. Do you remember Steve Hodge?
Yeah,
and he had his red pants on, shirt. He has a little fanny pack on. He had his red hat on.
Yeah, that was
so funny. He was so funny. Anyway, so you know, with that. Just imagine, just everywhere you look was these men who loved God, who were coming to repent. We were coming to Washington, D.C., to fall on our face before God, not government, and say, forgive us. Forgive us for the state of our nation. Forgive us for the condition that we've allowed it to be. Forgive us for our sin. And all these men, you know, a million men. It was so cool. It was just all of us from all across the country. There was nobody that wasn't there in representation. And came on buses and planes and all this. I'm looking at the VFN torch while I'm talking about this, so you can see this on the VFN torch. But, you know, with that, it was just...
Remember
when we said, everybody got the chance to just, okay, let's repent now. Let's all get on a knee. And people just went on their faces, man.
You had
a million men on their faces, you know, and on the knees and just down low and just asking God. And I believe that was not in vain. I believe that we're talking to you right now because we were there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we acknowledged we need help, you know, and we need God. And we've made a lot of mistakes since then. But I really believe, you know, honoring God and showing God our desperate need for Him, you know, is so, so important. Here we are again at that time.
That's right.
So do you remember there was amazing to hear all that worship and all those men, you know, together in unity, but it was amazing the silence at that time of the repentance. That was just, you know, you could hear a pin drop. It was a million men on the mall.
Yes.
And they were having a moment with God. It was just not time for, there wasn't a rally. This wasn't about that. This was about repenting and coming back to God.
Yeah. And imagine that God saw that, you know, God saw those million men. You know, and that's what we got to have again today. We can't live off yesterday's repentance, you know, that we believe we see state. God's already shown us stadiums, you know, filled with right-hearted men and women who are abiding with God, who are doing this very same thing across the nation.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just having this discussion the other day in Matthew 11:20. He says that then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of the miracles had been performed because they did not repent. And it was like, wow, you know, God's been so good. He's been so encouraging. He's, you know, He's blessed us. And you think about it. America's such a blessed nation. And this whole discussion we were having, we started thinking about it. We were saying, look, people are trying to get into this nation. When's the last time you heard of people trying to leave America to go to another nation? You know, it's like, just imagine that. You're gathering your family, you're gathering all your stuff, and you're going to another place for a better opportunity. And there's millions of people coming to the United States.
Yes.
You know, and America's been so blessed. They want to come to experience this freedom. They want to come to experience the liberties. It's, you know, to have the right to freedom of speech. And yet America's in a position where we just, you know, are not grateful to God for what He's done. We've tried to take them out of schools, prayer out of school. We've tried to take the Ten Commandments out of, you know, our courthouses.
It moved, and God, we trust, to the edge of the coin. It's on the edge. Is that prophetic or what?
it's about to fall off.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the edge. America is on the edge, and they moved in God We Trust on the edge of the coin.
Listen to this. The conversation went even further because we started talking about, well, what about the church? I mean, that's America, but what about look,
it's
look
a condition. At all the it is the condition of the church that brought it to this point,
You think about all the miracles. You think about all the stuff, God, if you give me this job, if you heal me, if you do all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll serve you forever. How many times have you heard that? Remember that?
Yeah, some people say, if we just had more miracles in the church. It's like, really?
Hello?
Which, you know, you need another leg to grow back? Is that what you need?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Saying, whoa.
Yeah.
Woe to you.
Yeah.
And it's just like this agony. It's like, wow.
It would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for you. And is this not a New Testament revelation?
Sure is.
You know, that's what the enemy starts to convince everybody that what the same God that was God of the old covenant is not God of the new covenant. Mm. And that even though Jesus was before, here he is in the midst of his earthly ministry telling us exactly that he's the same God.
That's right.
And that the same greater consequences than what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, which is an example to us, is to be just not paying attention to him. You know, here he's doing all this stuff for us and just writing him off. I think about, too, is standing in the gap. Remember Evie Hill?
Oh,
Pastor
yeah.
Evie Hill?
Yeah.
I love this man. He says, let's listen to a little bit of Evie Hill here.
Jesus did not show the devil his glory because we don't have no glory. I go up my vest right here. Nobody won't be blown away. Jesus did not say, devil be done, because I couldn't have said it. Jesus had to do something that everybody in here can do. And I'm fixing to give it to you right now because I want you to use it tonight. I want you to use it tomorrow. I want you to use it tomorrow night. I want you to use it for the rest of your life. Jesus said, devil, it is written.
I love to hear Evie Hill, speak. Isn't it refreshing to hear his voice?
Yes.
I mean, if there's anybody authentic, he was an authentic man.
Deal.
You know, he was the real deal. You know, and the men just really loved to hear him talk. You know, and to share, and he was just the real. He's just real.
He's awesome. He's going to be with the Lord, but I tell you, he was a powerhouse.
Yeah, and we're actually, you can see this and see some other videos and pictures that are on the VFN Torch, and with that, you can see the arrows to see what happens when you get up early and ride trains to make sure some diligence and be there. And then when you're a block away and you sleep late.
I have some pictures. I'm going to see if I can get you some pictures for this blog, see where I was at. And we had a good time. I know you remember Joe.
Yeah.
Joe was in that group. And
was
Brad
Joe there? Joe was there.
And Bob. You know that Joe just got married, so I want to give a shout out to Joe.
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness,
yes, beautiful
Joe.
Beautiful wife, Tanya.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. She's a fitness instructor, by the way, and she is fit.
Is she?
I don't go around her too much, man, because she'll be like, she'll start coaching me. I'm like, all right, Tanya, all right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just saw, Brian LaDonna Spivey, and he was talking about I saw him on the post on the Facebook where he said that LaDonna just went and gave her fitness routine to the community to be able to help them be able to stay fit and stuff. But somebody said, I'm sure that was Brian kind of like encouraging her. He's very community organized and all that. But yeah, isn't that cool? I just really love Brian and LaDonna. They're very special people. But oh my goodness, time is here. We are. I want to be able to talk about before we get to the end of this first hour, our wisdom moment. Mm. You know, it is the 30th of the month. So we look at Proverbs 31. We want to be able to get God's wisdom above all things. And wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So it's not just knowing something. It's knowing what to do with what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to know two things and have wisdom on how to use those two things than to know 100 things and have no wisdom how to use any of them.
Mm-mm.
No, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It reminds me of a message that Jack Hollis has, the pastor and friend of mine over Mariana. I can't remember the name of the message, but he talks about, taking an ox goad, a stick, and how, remember the young man that fought off thousands of people with an ox goad? I think it was called Hero. It was called Hero. Heroes aren't born, they just happen. Mm. You know, something happens at that moment, and nobody delivers it like Jack. I love to hear him speak and teach. And but he used an ox goad, a simple stick, like David used a slingshot in the Five Rocks. Mm-hmm. And it's what's, you know, it's wisdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the best everything. It's like, do you have any wisdom how to use what you have? Right. And the way you have to be a successful businessman and businesswoman, by the way, is to look what you got and see what you can do with what you got.
That's right.
But anyway, getting back to the moment of wisdom here in Proverbs 30. We're going to read from Proverbs 30, verse 5 through 6. And it reads, every word of God is flawless. Think about it. Every word of God is mm-hmm. flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that beautiful?
That's good.
Yeah.
It says, do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Every word of God is flawless in its original manuscript, and he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Well, you know, it's a good time now when things are shaking to their core. You know, when you're looking at Shaphan, the secretary of Josiah, showing up to clean out the temple and giving the finances to somebody else to be able to do it, we got to check ourselves and see if we're in the faith. See if we've changed God's original intent. You know, the reason why we have the original intent of the church, we have those moments in our conversation with you and with each other, is so we can explore the idea, have we changed God's word? Have we added to? Have we taken away? Mm-hmm. You know, have we taught our preferences versus God's realities, you know? Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to do that. And so he tells us right here that, you know, God will rebuke you and he'll prove you out to be a liar. And so we need to right now when things are quaking like this, when the whole world's looking at America, finding out what it's going to do, and then God's looking at the church in America, finding out what it's do, and then the church is looking at you, right now, the believer, and what you're going to do, that it all boils down to the man. Will the man mm-hmm. turn to God? Will he do what's right before the Lord? Well, are we willing to go look like, Josiah's secretary in the Word and go, what does it say? I just want to know what it says. I'm going to read it for what it is. And all the areas that I don't line up with it, you know, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And mm-hmm. I'm going to say, Lord, give me the grace to walk before you. And I'm going to be broken for the fact if I realize, oh, my goodness, I thought it was left and it was right. It's not going to be, okay, I'll make an intellectual turn. Intellectual turns just take you deeper into the problem you were in.
Yeah.
Because that's a prideful mm-hmm. turn.
Mm-hmm.
But a brokenness that we've done wrong before God, and a remorsefulness, understanding that God's anger would be burning against us and is burning against us, by the way, for the wrong that has been done, and that if we don't repent, the storm he's fashioning against us is going to come. And so this is a very important word, because America is being rebuked and about to be rebuked because the church has changed, much of the church has changed the commandments of God, set them aside for the traditions and philosophies of men. And he's going to prove the church out not to be truth if that's what's going on.
Right.
They're the ones that are doing that, not all the church, but just some of them. When I think about Revelations 22, you know, Revelation 22, verse 18 through 19, this is what he talks about when he ends the entire new covenant. He talks about adding to the word or changing the word. He says, I warn everyone. I warn everyone, which you think about it. I mean, when you think about the Book of Mormon, the Book of Mormon is the whole thing says it's another testament of Jesus Christ. It is an addition to. The whole uh-huh. thing is an addition to.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? The whole thing is an addition to. And right now, this is really just bothering me in the context of that the church doesn't seem to clarify who Jesus is in the midst of all of this. And, you know, kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but God's kingdom will stand, and we will stand if we're in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If we're seeking his kingdom and we don't compromise who he is in the midst of all the deception, because he says that you know, gross deception, massive deception will be a sign of the last days. And, of course, deception is not, you know, if you're up and somebody's going, you know, it's down. I mean, it's an obvious thing in which those things happen. But the biggest deception is that when God says it's up and somebody says, well, it's almost up, like Satan mm-hmm. did to Eve in the garden. You know, it's going to be almost right. You know, it's going to be as an angel of light, servants of righteousness, you know, that we talk about. And you can get that on VFN TV about Angel of Light. You got to be able to hear that. It's a totally free subscription. Go to VFNTV.com to get it. But right now, we got to know. I'm really concerned because the church has left God's original intent. A lot of the church has. And, you know, and sin is kind of winked at. And it's not as bad as it once was. And it's like, has it really changed? And it scares you because you're thinking, you know, what part of my life am I winking at? What part of, you know, Lord, help us. Have we gone this far? And he says in Revelations 22, 18 through 19, he says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him plagues described in this book. Mm. And we're talking about storms coming. You know, when I fasten a storm against you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you add to this, if anyone adds to it, I will bring the storms that you read about in this Bible. I will bring these storms. This is the New Testament, by the way.
Right.
And then he says in the next verse, in 19, he goes, if anyone takes words away from this book or prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which is described in this book. It sounds like to me that, you know, which means this, you have to first be in something or have something before it can be taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, because he says, if you take away from any of these words in this prophecy, God will take away, which means you actually had to have it before he took it away. If you never had it, nobody can take it away from you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we've got to humble ourselves. We don't want to lose. We don't want the tree of life taken away from us.
That's right.
We don't want our place in the holy city taken away from us. We want to walk with God. We want to be standing in his holy city, the New Jerusalem, you know, where there's no more tears and no more sickness, where he's preparing for the bride to be able to come and have
mansion.
No, in regards to he's preparing a place for the bride and a party for the bride.
Great banquet
he's preparing for us, and he's going to come. And we're going to be there as his bride, and he says, and they're dressed with white robes, which are the deeds or the works, you know, which means somebody told you didn't have to do nothing. Mm-hmm. You're not doing something to get saved, but the very fact that you are saved, you do something.
How are you going to be dressed?
You hear, you believe, you do. You hear, you believe, you do. Mm-hmm. And if somebody changes what you're supposed to do, you could have heard, but then you do the wrong thing because they change the word. And he's saying, listen, if that happens, he says, I'll bring these plagues against you that you're reading in the Word of God. This is the New Testament, right? Mm-hmm. The revelation of Jesus.
Right.
And he said, not only that, but if you take away my words, if you take away anything from the Word, this prophecy, I'll take away from you the tree of life in the holy city. That just should put, if anything, it should put the fear of God in us to say, you know what? God, whatever men say, I stand alone. And you stand alone. You're not going to be able to have 15 preachers or 15 evangelists that you listen to and line them up as witnesses, and you're going to be able to say, well, he told me this and she told me that and this one gave me that word. I mean, you're going to be alone there. You got to get this. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. We think about it. If you don't think the right things about God, if you don't think and know in your heart that he is the Son of God and the only way to God, Jesus Christ, that, you know, if you don't have those thoughts, if that's not your thoughts, then it's eternal separation from God forever. In eternity, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says over and over and over again. So you can't just think anything. It's important. Right. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. When you can hear what God is saying to you, but then somebody changes God's word and you start to do what God told you to do, but somebody told you this is what God's telling you to do when it's not what he's telling you to do, then you're being led astray by men and women who have changed God's word. But you are being led astray. The question is God going to hold us accountable because we didn't get in the Word of God ourselves and find out what the map says, that I was off the right road.
That's right.
And sin is missing the mark. You got to know what God says.
Absolutely.
Quit depending on men to tell you how to find the God that you personally are going to pay eternal consequences for if you don't find him and stay with him. I want to encourage you this morning in the proverb, the moment of wisdom is from Proverbs 30, verse 5 through 6, is every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his word, or he will rebuke you and prove you out to be a liar. Well, God bless. We enjoyed having you in the first hour. Don't forget you can join us in a few moments in the extra hour. It'll be John, Pat, and myself to encourage you and talk deeper about the things that are going on. We still have so much to share. You're listening to VFN Radio. You can find out more at VFNTV.com. And those that can't join us for the extra hour, God bless you. Don't forget, you can come back and listen to the highlights later on the VFN Torch or on your phone application, listen to the whole program. God bless.